Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're good to go.
A lot of fans were like down on the defense early.
Were they?
What do you take away from that game, given that you face a whole bunch of short fields and held them to two field goals and the red zone got an interception as well?
You know, the biggest thing was we came out and we had the tackle for loss on the first play. And it's a game of momentum, right? So we have the tackle for loss on the first play. Second play was we ended up in 3rd and 7. I can't remember exactly. Oh, it was the perimeter run to Kamara. I think he got like 4. And then we had him in 3rd and 7. And, you know, we don't do our 1/11th as far as our rush lane responsibility. Their quarterback gets out, and in the second level, we need to tackle him. And then that just builds momentum for him, you know, off the jump. Certainly, 3 and outs create a lot of momentum, and we got to start fast. That was one of our keys to victory last week, talking about starting fast, and it really starts with that first 3rd down. I'd say some of the key things, obviously the run game's not good enough, and I think it's twofold. Is guys have to do their 1/11. It's two things. It's be in your gap and tackle. And we pride ourselves on tackling, and obviously that first touchdown run is not indicative. That was a clinic on how not to tackle. You know, and I know our guys will bounce back from that, and then came the quarterback scrambles, right? So that number can get skewed a little bit as far as that goes, but we certainly didn't do a good enough job. Now, the highlights, you look at our 3rd down, we got back on track on 3rd down. They were 2-for-4 in the red zone. We started 3 times on the, I believe it was a +49, once on the +40, and to come away with 6 points and a takeaway, I think that's, you know, that's a tremendous job by our guys with resiliency and just clamping down and to come away with that. If you said a team starts in plus territory 4 times, you'd think that someone would come away with more points. But we've got a lot to improve on from that game, specifically on 1st, 2nd down.
Every week you guys have faced a quarterback who can get out of the pocket. Just curious, how would you evaluate just the way that you guys have fared against all these guys so far? Because you're facing another.
Yeah, I would say right now we're not where we need to be as far as facing these scrambling quarterbacks. They're a challenge, right? You guys watch Josh every week. And it really comes down to guys understanding how the rush is going to work together. And there's some, for lack of a better term, not so sexy parts of the rush that really help contain the quarterback. And the first rush was an example of us not doing what we need to do. And we'll get that corrected moving forward. Certainly, we're going to have another mobile quarterback this week. It's every week, you know, so we'll tighten that up. I was just really excited for his first interception. It was funny. I asked Cole in the meeting today. I said, "What year is it, Cole?" He was like, "I'm like, what year is it?" He's like, "2025." I said, "Jordan Poyer, what year was your first NFL interception?" He said, "2015." You know, so it's pretty cool. Things like that. You know, being able to get your hand on the ball and bring it in such a critical moment, can create confidence and can really elevate a guy, you know, because it's really, it's that first one, right? It's that first of whatever it is to where you're like, okay, I got it now, you know, and hopefully he turns into a magnet for the ball. This point moving forward, it's an incredible play. Incredible play.
You guys are sitting here at 4-0. You've gotten the stops necessary at times, but then, you know, there's other times where we're asking you about third down deficiencies or maybe some missed tackles coming out of this game. From a big picture perspective, how do you view that in the idea that, you know, the end result is ultimately what you guys are chasing, but there is still, I guess, issues to clean up at times?
Yeah, I mean, there's always issues to clean up. Always. You know, I would say, Jay, to your point, the season is a journey, right? Like, it's – I'll never forget this. I was a young coach, and I worked with a guy named Ron Meeks. He was with the Colts. I think he was their coordinator at the time, and they won the Super Bowl. And this doesn't have anything to do with us, but it just paints the journey of a season for you, right? So he had said the year – I think it was actually the year they beat my father in Miami – my dad was at Chicago, and he said that year they were 32nd in the NFL in rush defense, and then they went into the playoffs and ended up being the and I'm not getting ahead of myself, but it's just – it's the journey of where we got to go, right? We go 11 for 11 on third down. We come out. We're not as we play Miami on first and second down pretty solid, and then third down's not so good. Well, hey, guys, we got to get back to it. That's not good enough. The guys know that. You saw the effort they put into third down this week. Not that they don't every week, but just that emphasis. We've, I believe, over the first couple games and going into last year, we're tackling pretty well, especially in some of the – you know, I think you look at the tackling and the deep zones, you know, those are the toughest tackles, having coach the safeties. And, you know, we're usually pretty good there. You know, but yesterday it was something. I don't know what it was. We just didn't tackle well. Not that New Orleans had some good backs, you know. So, you know, it's just kind of a reset on where you're at, Jay. And the problem is going to be if the theme keeps occurring. And that's where this gap integrity, going back to the Baltimore game too, like we've got to clamp down. And we can sit there as coaches and say it all we want, but – we've got to take initiative and we've got to come together. We're still building that connectivity as far as across the whole board. And we got to be one heartbeat and we're working that direction. And, you know, we're going to keep growing in the areas necessary. Sorry to go on a rant there, but just kind of breaking it all down for you as far as that goes, you know.
This is kind of an awkward question.
Okay. I like awkward questions.
When we were starting the season last year, one of the things the conversation was, like, were you to call the defense? Like, it was your first time as a defensive coordinator. Now we're, like, a year later into your second year. Would you say, like, where you're at as a defensive coordinator, this is your defense? And I ask that just from the standpoint of you came up under Sean. He's a defensive coordinator. Would you call this your defense?
I don't think I'd ever call it my defense. No matter where I was, who I was with, I don't think I'd ever do that. I mean – The amount of time these assistants put in, the amount of time they put into their areas, certainly Sean's a defensive head.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, he's got final say on everything. Like, he got hired because he's a defensive head coach or because of his defensive background. And obviously his leadership and all those type of things. Well, I would never say it's my defense. I mean, there's a lot of the players have to buy into the defense. The coaches put a lot of those coaches put a lot of time in. You know, I would say when we don't play well, it's my defense, and when we play well, it's everybody else's defense. That would be my answer for you. So.
On Matt's question, do you feel like you're taking on more, like, are you doing more than last year? Is there anything you're doing differently than last year?
It's about evolution, right? So you evolve every year, and, you know, you might do a couple things a little different here, but philosophically, we don't want to change.
When you talk about gap integrity, is that understanding what gap to be in or staying in that gap rather than chasing?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Like, you're supposed to sit in that chair, sit in that chair. You know what I mean? Like, your job is this gap. And there's certain, when you're lighter in the box, some guys might, especially off the ball, might have two gaps or whatever. But there's a gap you're responsible for. You know, and there's different philosophies out there. And your job is to own your gap. That's your job. And we got to start buying into that collectively. Not that the guys aren't buying into it, but we've got to start abiding by that. And that's every time there's a run issue, right? Every time there's a run issue. So there's things I can do better. There's certainly things that our players individually, which would bring us together collectively with a better product in the run game.
Four games. How are you assessing just where Deion Walker's been?
Yeah, let me say this. Deion Walker, we've gone on a long journey with him, and it's been a fun one to be a part of, because coaching, you want to see growth in guys, and you want to see, you know, you want to see some success in there for guys that are intentional about doing things a certain way or improving or whatever that may be, but they're intentional about what they do. Certainly got a long way to go, but he's growing. He's growing. He's not getting taller, but he is growing in his game. And it'll be fun to see where he goes. It's about the work he puts in and all those things that come along with it. But he's still a young player.
I can't tell you which play it was, but what I was watching closely, he wrecked the line of scrimmage on a run stop.
Like that.
Yeah, how much does that show his potential when you talk about his growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you see the plays, right, like you saw the play Cole made, right? Like that shows you what is in him. And it's putting guys in position and making sure that they can play fast enough to be able to see those, what you're talking about, John, and to see those, for lack of a better term, splash plays or impactful factor plays, and we'll continue to identify that. And look, we're still a puzzle trying to fit the best pieces together, right? Our goal is to peak at the right time. That's our goal. And it's still a puzzle that we're trying to, and the sooner the better. Sooner the better. I mean, to answer your question, we're going to try to put guys in those positions to see them do those type of things.
Snaps, a look at Michael Hoyt in the summer. I know he's back in the building this week. What potential is there, and how do you see him kind of fitting himself in once he does get back?
Yeah, well, once we get back, which I think it's after the bye maybe or whatever, we'll have some time there to make sure that – see where we're at and then see where he'll fit in. But certainly you guys saw Hoyt. He's going to bring a lot of energy, a lot of juice, a lot of physicality, and it'll be good to have him back.
I asked you last week about Joey Bosa's snap counts. Was this more where you want him at?
Yeah, we're still, like, you see the process of where we're trying to find him and find that sweet spot. So we're still working through it. You know, we're still going to massage it to where we find that right kind of sweet spot to where he can do the things he did at the end of the game yesterday for us.
What have been your impression now, four games with him? Like, what have been your impressions of him?
Yeah, I think Joey is, I've talked about him before. I mean, he's an impactful player. He does things the right way. There's the one play he'd want back in the run game, which he grabbed me in the locker room and, you know, was very remorseful about it. But No, I mean, Joey's a football player. Like, Joey's a football player. One of the coolest plays was when TB and TJ, it was the intentional grounding. Like, the effort of Joey Bosa at his age to try to bat that ball back in bounds. It was an ugly fall, but it was, you know, once he realized that he couldn't get to it. But, you know, we pointed that out to the defense today, and that's – so, I mean, you know, he's a football player.
Quite complimentary earlier when asked about Shaq Thompson. What's it been like for you to coach him, you know, since he got here?
Yeah, I love Shaq. I love Shaq. He's a pro, loves the game of football, wants to win, will do whatever it takes. Al showed a clip today on kickoff of him. You know, we show the most physical plays to our defense. And he pulled a special teams play on kickoff of where he blew up the off returner. Now, you know, we'll tackle the ball. But, I mean, he's fun. He's a lot of fun to have in the room.
I know you're so focused week to week on opponents' game planning. Do you spend any time as a defensive coordinator, like, pulling a guy like Landon who's fighting for a jersey aside? And what do you say to a young player like that? That Sean said he's getting close, but it's just maybe not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's at a different point. You know, and the roster can look different. The roster's it's a constant evolving thing. You know, I think Sean and Brandon or one of the other had brought in Jake DeLome years ago to us. And really the overall message to sum it up is DeLome had told our guys, like, work while you wait. You know, because when your time comes, you need to be ready to rock. And I think his story was – you know, he was a backup or practice squad guy, and he finally got a shot, and he never looked back. And that's really the message, try to keep him upbeat. You know, these are guys that have played their whole lives and been superstars, and then now they're not up on game day. But that's the life of the NFL, and you just got to be ready to roll when your number's called.
The stats haven't been there yet, but what have you seen from Gray Russo?
What I've seen is challenged him this last week, and – saw a product more to the liking of what Greg wants it to be. You know, there's ebbs and flows of every season. And, you know, I just challenged Greg. I said, you know, that'll be between us. But I challenged him and he responded. And we want to continue to see it climb and, you know, impact the game in the right way. Cool.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.